Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Greetings, listener dear. I'm Tom.
I'm Ben.
And I am Matthew. And welcome to another exciting episode of the wonderful Pappy's Flatshare House Meeting.
Yes, it is wonderful. It's not our place to say, but I think we can safely say that it's pretty wonderful stuff, isn't it?
I think, yeah. I mean, it's not. We've rarely been fenced in by what is and isn't our place, right?
Hey, here's an idea.
Yeah, go on.
How do you think the culture world would fare if all reviews? And hear me out on this, so I think there's something in it.
Okay.
If all reviews were written by the creators, So you're only allowed to review your own work. So reviewers don't exist. The only reviews that get published are the people doing the shows. Now, I genuinely think...
I mean, you had me at reviews don't exist, but I'm not sure the next bit of the plan I'm that bothered by.
I don't think you would get many five stars.
No, you'd get very few five-star reviews.
I think you'd really be able to curb hyperbole.
Yeah, hyperbole, as you call it.
Hyperbole, exactly. That's the project.
The hyperbole project, where everybody has to review themselves. Well, Tom, in which case, let's put it into practice immediately. You've done this episode of House Meeting. You know about it. I mean, admittedly, we did record it about a week ago, so you may have forgotten all of it.
Yeah.
But what are you... What... And I tell you what, no, let's let the listeners listen first, and okay, then you can critique it at the end. We'll critique it at the end. But before we let the listeners listen to the fantastic, I mean, again, I'm reviewing it, House Meeting.
Hyperbole.
You know what? I'm going to give it five stars. I don't care.
The system's broken already.
The system crumbles because of my just terrible arrogance. It's built on scaffolding of abject fear. So it's like that's all arrogance is, really, isn't it? It's built on fear. What will have to happen is, if you give a five-star review, then a psychologist has to explain why you've given a five-star review afterwards. You can have a five-star review, but you have to then spend a day with a psychologist talking to them, and then they write a review on you.
So at the end, is Tom going to be your psychologist?
Well, he has been for many years, and we can't broadcast what he's told me about my inner workings. Right. Listen, we've got another Pappy's Flatshare Slamdown. It's hoving interview, the 27th of June. And I tell you what else is hoving interview, the old sold out sign we're going to have to hang up outside. So if you want to grab your tickets,
again,
do it now, guys. Tom
we're
Davis.
We're plagued by that sold out sign.
We are plagued.
It also, won't leave us alone.
We're plagued by Tom Davis and Estebanito.
what a line of that is. Estebanito and Tom Davis. Oh, great. I'm so excited about this one.
It's going to be a good one. So that is happening on the 27th of June at our usual haunt of the Phoenix in Cavendish Square. Get your tickets from pappiescomedy.com/live. All of the ticket details are there.
If you're the one who buys the last ticket that causes the sold out sign to go up, then
you've got a golden ticket. You've got a golden chance. You get to host the show, and I get to review it.
No. You don't get out that lightly.
But yeah, 27th of June at the Phoenix. Get along to that.
Oh, here we go. It's House Meeting.
The reviews are in, guys. The reviews are in.
Who reviews the reviewer? Oh, it's harder than it looks. I'll start giving them more credit, actually.
I've had a thought.
I've got an issue.
I've got a question I want to ask you.
I want to talk.
I want to chat.
Okay, let's sit down and chew the fat.
House Meeting. Meeting.
What temperature should we set the heat?
House Meeting.
Why on earth am I always weeping?
House meeting. Meeting.
Who wet my bed while I was sleeping?
Let's have a house meeting. Meeting.
What's the point? Does life have a meaning?
House meeting.
So mermaids cropped up this morning.
Oh yeah.
The old thorny issue.
And you say this as if, like, you were by the coast and a few of them were sort of reclining on a rock
just
with some seashells
singing a song,
protecting their modesty
again.
Yeah.
Well, that does beg a good question, actually, which is if mermaids were alive today, what would they...
if they were still around, is what you mean, yeah. If they hadn't all gone extinct.
If we hadn't killed off the bloody mermaids.
Exactly. If the last mermaid wasn't in the Natural History Museum with an apologetic sign next to it, yeah.
A stuffed
mermaid. And like the walrus at the Horniman Museum, it's been massively overstuffed. The skin is stretched to breaking point. They had no idea how much kapox they're supposed to stick inside it. Yeah, but if they were still around today...
The fish tail's like three times the size of the...
a tiny little waif-like top. Yeah. And then a huge whale tail on the bottom, yeah.
Although that was the fashion back in those days. Mermaids used to... They'd corset themselves in and then... Anyway.
And then whale tail?
And then whale tail. Have you got a whale tail?
That led to the cruel habit of people killing whales for their tails. Mermaids would actually slaughter whales. They'd gang up together.
Terrible.
And then they'd slip into its tail. Oh, no wonder. All in the name of high fashion. Yeah, so anyway, they cropped up this morning. You were having a conversation. I'm assuming you'd
I've got a side question.
Are you sidebar?
If mermaids were around today, would they be singing modern songs to tempt sailors onto the rocks?
It's me, hi, I'm the problem, it's me.
Well, that's giving themselves away, isn't it? Yeah. do mermaids tempt... I thought sirens tempted people onto the rocks. Do mermaids do the same thing? I didn't know if that was there.
I thought a siren was a mermaid.
Oh,
Part of the question
Are sirens and mermaids the same thing?
Yeah.
My experience of mermaids sort of begins and ends with The Little Mermaid. And yes, she had a sort of haunting song, didn't she, that bewitched. She had that,
oh my God, he's tempting me.
Can I go on record and say, half finished that song? Because it bewitched people, but I think part of their bewitching was, is that it?
Steer the ship a little closer, because surely we just can't hear it anymore.
That's got to be going somewhere.
There's got to be a drop at some point, surely.
It's the equivalent of when my dad walks into a room and goes, and then just leaves the room.
Tom, can I just say one thing? It's not your dad who does that.
He's tempted us into another podcast. The parry song.
Will they be singing modern songs? It's a good question, isn't it? Because you think now, you know, when you're sort of sailing your ship on stormy waters and think, oh, someone left Radio 3 on. You want something a bit more compelling.
You'd probably keep listening for the shipping forecast.
Yeah, it's a good point, yeah. Turn it over to the World Service.
Yeah, exactly that. The ugly truth that comes with that is that one of their mermaids got a beatbox.
Oh no.
The a cappella groups.
Tom, I think we've actually come up with a great new show, right? This is a Netflix Disney Plus, you know, that kind of, you know, the kind of like the show about everyone who's got a superpower and someone doesn't. You know, that show, Remarkable, Incredible, Wonderful, whatever they're called.
The reviews are in.
I'm watching it. That's the mad thing. I'm watching the show. I've got no clue what it's called. It's a good show. But by the way, this is like, just, I've got a sidebar to the sidebar, right? So Succession is finished, right?
Oh, yeah.
Succession's finished. Yeah. And there's been a lot
Has
of...
It?
Yeah.
God, I wish people would talk about it a bit
I know,
more.
I know.
They're just like that slip away.
So, and there have been lots of sort of tweets going... Oh, great, now I don't have to pretend I understand what's going on in Succession, or any episode of Succession, I understand about 15% of what's going on. And I agree with that, but I also think that's true with me of all TV shows. And you know what? Like, for currently, we've got builders working in our house at the moment, And every day, new people come. So an electrician comes, a plumber comes, they're putting in a new kitchen. There's lots of different people. Every people come, and we've got a Julian, we've got a Charlie, we've got a Dan. And what I need, because this is the kind of telly I watch, and this is, it's made me thicker, but I need it now, is I watch a TV show where every time a character appears on stage, on screen even, their name appears. You know, like I'm talking about Selling Sunset or, you know, Married at First Sight. Even up to like, you know, we're you know, you could be 37 episodes into a series and they're still bringing out, this is Chriselle. You're like, I need that now in real life because I've got no clue who anyone is.
I also want it to turn into, I want like Julian to arrive and be like, I'm here to do the electricity. And you're like, want a cup of tea? And then it immediately cuts to an interview with Julian. Oh, I could tell you what the fuck he's doing. I knew I could charge this guy anything I wanted, so I went to town. It's like, I really want the whole experience to be a reality TV show. Crosby's got the workers in, and it's just like...
We've got a separate breakaway room for face-to-face interviews.
Where they go to have a cup of tea for 2 hours. So he thinks I'm fetching my tools. I'm in here, slagging him off. Have you brought up the Succession finale with any of the guys working on your house?
Not yet. It's only day 3.
I'd love you to give it a go. Because from the Guardian articles, everyone's talking about it. It's gripped the public. And I'd love to go give him a cup of tea and go, do you watch the Succession finale just to see?
You watched the Succession last night? What were they thinking, eh? Oh.
I'll definitely ask. I can.
When you read The Guardian, it's like you can't walk into a shop without talking about the Succession finale at the till.
I mean, to be fair, we've talked about it a lot.
I can't cope. I can't stop reading about the Succession finale.
You've never seen any other episodes. Never seen the other episodes. Started with the finale. It's good. It's a good place to start. Do you know what? I could have started with the finale and understood it exactly as much as I had done.
That is one of my issues. I feel like you could watch the first episode and the last episode of Succession and actually you're good. I genuinely think you're good.
No spoilers, but they don't all end up happy at the end. Money doesn't suddenly bring them happiness. It should.
Do you know what? I'm just thinking back and I think you might have a good point here, Crosby, because even like if you go with, say, The Sopranos, which I've watched all of and loved.
Yeah.
I think 15% might be about right when you go in like, well, Joe Schmali's in New Jersey and he's got to work the crack. And you're like, oh, yeah, they're going to have to sort something out here.
He's really? Yeah,
you go, like, oh, no, I think
you may have watched a porn parody.
I understood it.
Joe Schmali watches the crack. My favourite episode.
Joe Schmali's gone to Ireland for the crack.
You could watch Joe Schmali watches the crack and you're good. You get the whole of the crack. Joe Schmali watches the crack.
We're back to mermaids again. We're back to sea creatures.
Joe Schmali gets tempted by the mermaids into the Kraken's den.
So I feel, Tom, as if...
This show.
It's a sort of Little Mermaid meets Splash meets Step Up to the Streets.
That's the bit we need.
Yeah, okay.
There couldn't have been all mermaid related products. you can't reel off. It's this. Meets
the movie Mermaids with Cher. she wants to sing the Shoop Shoop song, yeah.
It's just about mermaids. Okay.
But we call it the Big Mermaid.
Here comes Step Up to the Plate. Now I'm interested. Step up to the Streets.
Yeah, Step Up to the Streets. Can I say it also meets The Shape of Water? Guys, I just didn't want to.
Okay.
Just hear me out.
I didn't want The Shape of Water standing in the conversation and, you know, like awkwardly going, well, shall I say something? Say something, Shape of Water. Say, we've got a mermaid involved here. So,
very modern.
A merman, exactly. It's 2023, guys. The idea is, you know, they're all singing their clarion calls on the rocks, you know.
Yeah.
She is the mermaid who decides to break away to go on land and make it as a trap MC. Very modern.
Does she bring it back?
Very modern. Yeah, absolutely. Don't you worry about it. She brings it back every performance. She drops That's it like it's hot. She brings it back. She picks it up. Don't you worry.
No spoilers involved there. She absolutely brings it back.
Yeah.
Step up to the shore.
700 characters, all of them with different, slightly similar names. You don't know who anybody is.
All of them got a trade.
They're always on their way.
All of them working on Crosby's house. They're vying for the bathroom just so they could breathe. Mermaids can breathe in air, can they?
Yeah. They've got human lungs. They don't need gills or anything like that. But
tough then. Tough break that.
Can they breathe both? Because they don't seem to have much of a problem underwater either, do they?
They breathe underwater as well. Although you see like little bubbles going up, don't you? Is it a bit like they're sort of snorkeling or scuba diving? But yeah, they can chat underwater. They can talk to each other. They can sing underwater.
They've got it all. They can do it all.
It's the dream, isn't it?
But can they beatbox underwater? Well, let's find out.
Can they bring it back?
Can they? Can they throw off a huge dubstep beat?
It's this imperfect pitch. Which, ironically, it's a perfect pitch.
It is a perfect pitch. Disney Plus, if you're listening, we're ready. We're good to go. House meeting.
Can I get this pizza delivered to my meeting? House meeting.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Who's our mermaid though? You want someone hip and trendy and cool like Sydney Sweeney to be your mermaid?
I don't know who that is, so I can only assume that means
in which case the perfect name. that's how they cast shows now.
Good.
They cast shows now by showing a picture of someone to an old person. This bloke who just walked into a room and said and walked out, show a picture of Sydney Sweeney. If he goes, oh yeah, I think I've seen her, wasn't she in the first series of White Lotus? Out, she's not in it. She's lost her street cred. But anyway, you had a couple of questions about mermaids. The first one was, would they sing modern songs? And I think the answer of course has to be yes. What was your other question? What was your overarching question?
Well, my other question was, and I think I learnt this morning from a card inside a children's snack that mermaids tempt sailors with their lovely songs.
Oh,
and I didn't know that was the case, but I think I think they certainly entertain them with their songs.
But whether or not they're
feelings,
they're like the anti lighthouse. Yeah.
I think sirens might be the bad versions of them. I could be wrong, but I think there's something in that as well. I don't know.
Ooh, so the series is Sirens versus Mermaids.
Oh, hello.
Now we're talking. That's so good. And it's got a little bit of kind of, what was that cheerleading movie? Was it called Bring It On?
Bring It On, yeah.
So you kind of got the goodies and the baddies.
But as it's called Bring It Back, right?
Bring it back.
And she sings the modern song, Bring It Back.
Sing it back.
Bring it back. That one's a bit too new for me.
Bring it back to the sea.
She sings, yes, please. She sings all the modern songs from Zoe Ball's Radio 2 show. Bit too modern for me, the direction she's taking in, but I'll go with it.
Yeah, they move from Radio 3 to Radio 2. A young sailor, a sprightly young sailor. We're talking he's 41, he's 42. Just a spry young strip of a thing, you know, played by a very young Willem Dafoe. He is... we'd have to age him up a little bit. But yeah, Willem Dafoe's there. He's playing a young dude. We've got Sydney Sweeney as the mermaid. He plays her a little bit of Steve Wright's love songs, and suddenly off we go.
Yeah. Great. Groove Armada are involved, everyone. So
Captain Jeremy Vine.
The good ship radio crew. Yeah.
Guys, good news. Basement Jacks are happy to be on the soundtrack.
We've got a
Sophie Ellis Bextor. Very.
We're promoting the film at Carfest, everyone. It's going great.
Yeah, we're on just after Tom Kerridge's cook-along. It's going to be great, honestly.
Kerridge's smells tempting people towards the rocks. Oh, God, he's used a lot of butter with that. Oh, lovely. Clarkson's doing a talk. Oh, yeah. It's always quite interesting.
Oh, no, we're going to need another boat.
An amazing Clarkson impersonation for you there, by the way. Oh yeah, it's always quite interesting. It was as if, I mean, I just have to say for the listeners, we didn't get Clarkson to record that and then get caution to drop that in post. That was Tom, the man of many voices, Harry, doing his famous Jeremy Clarkson impression.
Oh, that's always quite interesting.
It's always quite interesting. He really backs himself, doesn't he, Clarkson?
It's always quite interesting.
I think you may be confusing him with Adrian Childs, because that was spot on.
No, I don't mind. Either or. Childs would get people onto the rocks. With his column about having half a beer or something.
I've drunk half a beer and I've lost my slipper. Can anyone help?
Where did I put my slippers? The Adrian Charles column. Anywho.
Can't read that paper. Bring me that closer.
Where is he? He has got one. He's got the worst column in the world.
It's in the Guardian, yeah.
It's in the Guardian, yeah.
Oh, there we go. Honestly, we're back again.
We're back to the Guardian again. We're really slagging off the Guardian. Ever since we became Tory, we've really taken to slagging off the left-wing press.
They used to half and half. Basically, that's my point. It's half and half creatures.
Okay, you're not talking about Adrian Charles's last round.
Half.
I always called him Adrian Piles there. I think that's actually not a bad name for him.
Adrian Piles.
I bet that's what his colleagues call him behind his back.
He's half human, half grape.
he's half human, half circular cushion.
Boring you onto the rocks in a really charming way.
That's the thing. He says boring stuff, but in a very interesting way. I aspire to be more like Adrian Childs. I'm halfway there.
I genuinely had that conversation with myself about 3 weeks ago. He was on Five Live, I think, and I was listening in and I was like, there's absolutely nothing of interest here and I'm loving it. And I was
what a life
to be Adrian Childs. He's operating completely within himself. He's not grasping for anything. He's not,
Whereas we're operating up ourselves, and that's a different thing.
You know, you're in a situation, you start a sentence, and you think, oh, God, I've overreached here, and I'm going to have to land this.
Oh, how am I going to finish
I better leave the room for a bit.
I stalled out too high. It's like I learned about Innsbruck Airport, which me and Clark have flown to a lot.
Yeah,
it's the hardest airport to land in Europe because it's surrounded by mountains. So only pilots of a certain high trainee standard can land and take off from Innsbruck Airport because it's surrounded by peaks. So it's sudden altitude and down and in. So in Europe, it's one of the most dangerous airports to land in. Isn't ever attempting Innsbruck Airport. Do you know what I mean? Like the company he keeps, the sentences he starts, he's never having to worry about a tricky, like he's an easy, whatever the best runway is to land in Europe.
Well, he never takes off.
Yeah, he's permanently taxiing.
He's just taxiing around.
Yeah,
I'm sure this is going somewhere. It isn't.
No, he is a plane safely ensconced in the aircraft hangar of broadcasting. That's what he is. He's there. Yeah. People. You know, they go to see him, like you might go to Duxford, you know, to have a little wander around inside the plane. But no, at no point is this plane ever going to take you anywhere. That's exactly what you get from Childs. And I love it. It's the perfect.
And he's very good at it. He's very maestro. Good at it.
He's the master. Yeah.
And I kind of thought, imagine that Childs has got to be. Childs is the goal. No one's going, oh God, this has happened. Let's get an opinion from Adrian Childs. And yet he's around. He's there.
He's always, yeah.
They'll be like, this has happened. Whilst we process this, here's Adrian Childs.
Yeah. And then to tell you about his breakfast.
He's like, just Captain Filler.
You know that thing that you do when you've got to test a microphone, if you get mic'd up for a job and a sound man says, just tell me what you had for breakfast. Do you think Adrian Childs goes, I'm not burning all my good gear. Listen, I'm not wasting my material on you, mate.
Basically.
I'll count to 10. And that is it.
The first gig that Adrian Childs got in broadcasting, the same man did that, and he hasn't heard any instructions since. He's just read that as advice for his entire career. Just chat about what you
tell
have
us about
breakfast.
Your morning. Talk
yeah, and
your
it's
day.
Like, oh yeah, I can do that for 4 decades. And we'll just shift you between various places to do it.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
I don't think there's any difference between, and I think this about when you come up against the really good comedians, you kind of see that there's very little difference between what they're doing on mic and what they're doing off.
Yeah,
and absolutely. Like you kind of go, oh, it's not a performance, it's just part of who you are. And I just wonder if Childs ever realize, I mean, I don't know if he realizes he's broadcasting or not sometimes.
He's so effortless.
And that's to his credit.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
But what would the difference be? The difference would be when he's not broadcasting, he's really interesting.
No.
Like,
well,
you speak to him, it's absolutely fascinating. No,
but he is always fascinating. I think the thing is, what you sort of aspire towards as that kind of broadcaster is there should be no... It should be a seamless transition between on stage and off, you know. And you see that with really good comedians. I'm not saying all comedians, because there are plenty of comedians who have a persona or a character. But a lot of really effortless comedians, you could be chatting to them, they're hilariously funny. They wander onto the stage, they don't even change the sort of the tone of their voice, the intonation, the inflection, and it's just the same thing, and off they go. That's what Childs has got.
Yeah,
you would imagine that living with him is an absolute joy.
Yeah, exactly that. He's not putting on a... He's not going, oh, now I have to click into one show mode. So, no, he hasn't got, like, a parent switch. Oh, no swearing here. I won't, you know, I'm not going to go nuts. Whereas you get the sense with quite a fair few of those one show guys, girls, you know, off camera, they're not one show. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
They're up a couple of notches.
Yeah. The three show.
Jermaine Genus on the night out is a three show.
Three show.
There was an England cricketer called Paul Collingwood, and his nickname was Brigadier Block, and they used to bring him in. He used to bat number 3, and he'd just stay there. He wouldn't try and score runs. He'd just block the ball, stay there, hold it down. There's your Childs.
No, I don't understand cricket. What's the benefit of having someone who can just block? I mean, obviously it means he's not getting out. But don't you want to get
tire
runs?
out the bowlers? Let the other guys get the runs.
Take the momentum out of it. Just be steadfast.
Let's just slow it all down here, and you know, that's the thing. It's that when people go, oh my God, Turkey have invaded Spain, they'll be like, and here's Childs, and Childs will go, God, I ordered half a pint instead of a pint last week. Here's what I found was different about that. The barmaid looked at me in a certain way, and I thought, do you know what? It's still going to be fun. And everyone's going to be like, oh, wow, yeah? And then they'll come back and go, okay, it's all over Turkey and Spain.
they've heard Charles's latest monologue, and they've called a ceasefire.
He's like, you know, I'll just brigadier block it up. That's superb skill.
In a kind of Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, they'll have him just sort of, but without any purpose. He's like a purposeless Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, where he's just stone. He's just
Mr. Smith just stands on the street.
Mr. Smith orders half a pint.
Mr. Smith lost his slippers. Well, I thought they were in Washington. but that's, you know. All of this is to his credit. That's what we should say. It's like, it's the highest praise.
Absolutely.
What a job. What a career.
I adore Adrian Childs. I think he's a brilliant broadcaster.
Do you think we'd ever be able to get him on Flat Slam?
I was just thinking that. He'd be great on Flat Slam. I talked to, because obviously Robbins and Ellis used to do the handover to him quite a lot, or handover from him quite a lot for their five show. I don't know if they still do.
Good luck following that.
I know. Well, I think that's the reason why they'd have a bit of a chat during the show. Like, they'd come on at the end of his show and he'd chat a little bit, because you can't go cold.
You know, and then before you know it, their show's over.
Yeah, exactly.
Charles is still there. Well, have you looked under the stairs? There he is. Tried to. Anyway, that's all you've got time for. That's the end of your show. And by the way, Turkey have invaded Spain. Anyway, enjoy the weekend. I'll be on the one show in about 20 minutes to finish this story. Say finish. Yeah. It never ends.
Yeah, yeah. See you at Carfest, guys.
Oh, Charles comparing the main stage at Carfest.
Who's, I think it'd be hard for that? Any. Yeah, exactly. It'd be hard, you know, the thing is, he'd be too interesting. You wouldn't want to let, you know, it would be the perfect chill out tent. That's what you really want at a festival.
The Charles out tent.
The Charles out tent, where you've got, where you're like, oh, I've just got, like,
I've got a bit hard.
It's the third day. I've gone a bit hard. I'm really starting to suffer.
I've gone three show.
Yeah.
I've gone three show at Carfest.
Three shot car fest. I'll go and have a diet coke and lie down in the trials.
Triple dot. Does Carfest have a podcast stage?
I don't know if we'd get away with it, in that none of us really know anything about cars. Well, I can't rock up in my 2009 Vauxhall Corsa and go, right guys, let's pod about cars.
I'll open my with my Clarkson impression. Oh yeah, he always says something interesting. Clarkson, Charles, Flat Slam guests at Carfest.
I mean, I'm up for it. I'm up for it if we can book them. If you're listening, guys, do you get in touch? PackersFlatShare@gmail.com.
Charles doesn't listen. Charles only, he only puts out. He doesn't take.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah. He's a one-way valve, isn't he?
He's a one-way valve. He really is.
That's a bit like you, isn't it, Tom?
Thank you. That's I'll take that.
It's the nicest thing anyone's ever said about you, and comparing you to Adrian Charles, and that you've
well,
never listened
to. Well, I'll say that. I wasn't really listening to what you said. I know it was about me. I assume it was a compliment.
And you're very welcome.
Apology accepted.
I've said it once before, but it bears a repeat.
House meeting.
What do you think, though, right? Because obviously it's the festival, the summer festival is a big thing. They're all starting up now. You've got your pub in the park, right? You know, that's all the cooking. You've got your car fest. You've got the big feast. That's the, you know, Alex James and the Cheese and all that kind of stuff. Like, obviously, you've got
Alex James
music.
And the Cheese are playing.
Alex James and the Cheese, yeah. That's so great. You know what?
Florence and the Machine.
There are some days when I prefer Alex James and the Cheese to Blur, and I fucking love Blur.
I mean, yeah.
I got an Alex James cheese box for my birthday, and oh my God, he knows what he's doing. They're so good. They're so good. I think he might make the best brie in England. Wow. Which I know is not the place you're supposed to get brie, but still.
He makes bad brie. Is what we're saying there.
He makes the least worst brie. No, his brie is absolutely fantastic. It's really, really good. But what do you think is the thing? The big
have you visited
festival?
His farm? Is that do people do that, like a little pilgrimage?
I don't know. I'm sure you can. But I just sent it by my sister. She ordered it online. Said,
that's the brie you can smell actually, Tom.
Yeah.
No, he's got one, the big festival. That's at Alex James's farm, isn't it?
Oh, right, that's it. So, yeah. So there's that. What is the next thing that you could do that would be a festival? What's the next kind of? I feel like Siren Fest. A mermaid themed festival. It's got to be for little kids because kids love it. Mermaids and unicorns. Basically, little kids just love them. What about? Is there a Keep Fit festival? I know no one calls it Keep Fit anymore. No one's called it Keep Fit since the Jane Fonda workout LPs back in the late 70s, early 80s.
Is there a jogging fest?
Jog on. Are you going to jog on?
Yeah, well, I'm running past it.
We can all do circuits around the Chemical Brothers.
Oh, that would be good, though. You have 360 stages. That you just run around.
Megan and Charlie a few years ago went to, do you remember they went to Box Park in Croydon together to do boxercise while the So Solid crew performed? And I think it was
just like beating the shit out themselves.
I think actually only two of them showed up, but it was two of the, I think it was Romeo Dunn and Lisa Mafia, so it was two of the good ones. But
they're very motivational, aren't they? They just 21 seconds to go, keep going, come on.
It's great for circuits, isn't it? It's really good for circuits. 21 on, 21 rest. 21 on, 21 rest. 21 tick tick tick. But yeah, that's good. That is a good thing, isn't it? If you get like a big, you know, you've got someone up on stage, like a Joe Wicks, but behind them you've got the view, you know, beating the fuck out of each other again. But yeah, you've got Joe Wicks at the front, but you've got a full band. Joe Wicks has got like one of those like Madonna headsets that you can shout commands, and everyone's doing it together. That will be a great fest.
I'd be really surprised if that isn't already out there.
I bet it is, yeah.
Because there's the well-being festivals.
Well, there's Fern Cotton's Happy Place, isn't there? She does a festival which is all is of there? Like the yeah, yeah. There is. There's where basically a load of people who are into sort of new agey healing and that kind of stuff, they all go and do that thing. So it's the Fern Cotton Happy Place Festival. So there's got to
be. What about Adrian Child's Comfy Place?
Or just a field full of armchairs.
The Adrian Child's Comfy Place. Oh. And it's just some armchairs, some really nice rugs.
It's an old people's home, basically. You get served mashed up food, and they've got Five Live on all day. Yep.
Who's do you know playing what? The Dignitas Arena?
Why is this festival in Sweden?
Dr. Kevorkian comes on stage to do a keynote speech.
Yeah, I think fitness, well-being, food. Yeah, that. I mean, is there one for, I don't know, like furniture? Yeah, I think we need to go like
furniture.
We need to go further down the rung.
Like, I think that's IKEA, Tom. I think it happens every single day. It's actually a lot more stressful than you think. Day three of IKEA is worse than day three of Glastonbury.
But if it's like, you know, it's IKEA, but Ellie Goulding's playing or something like that. I don't know.
I tell you what, two wrongs don't make a right in this instance, man. It's a bad thing, but hear me out. There's also a worse thing there.
I tell you what, at least the ones wrecking their ships on this one. Everyone's just sailing straight on past.
That's the modern land.
No problem being tempted onto these rocks.
Lighthouse. Yeah. It's an IKEA with any Goulding on the roof like Brian May.
Saved a lot of lives.
My point originally was that in terms of mermaids, there was the rage for half and half creatures, as it feels like it's had its time. But it feels like back in the day, all you had to do was invent a hot, to, you know, splice from the waist and give it a name.
The Centaur.
Exactly.
The Minotaur. The Centaur, you're right.
The Minotaur, the Mermaid, the Fawn.
The Fawn, yeah.
All those boys, all those girls, you just splice them at the waist, bob on what you like, give it a name, go and tell everyone you've
seen
one.
The human centipede.
Could you not splice me onto his waist, please? No, a little lower, a little lower.
Worst festival I've ever been to.
Clarky's managed to avoid ever being in a human centipede because of having an arse half up his back. It would be impractical.
Well, no, he'd be the front, wouldn't he?
Yeah, it has to be a human millipede, wouldn't it?
He'd be leading the conga. And then the second one's kind of locked in at shoulder height, and then it slopes down.
Oh boy.
I mean, is there a horror festival, Clarkie?
Fright Fest? Yeah.
What does it,
like film festivals and stuff like that, like but I don't know about, you know, in a field.
We're talking about outdoors with bands playing and the
camping
is what you
everyone's
want.
Doing spooky versions of their songs.
Yes. Is that what happens at like the Great Festival? Everyone does like food based versions of theirs.
I would totally do that if I was playing. Then I'm changing the lyrics to all my songs.
Well, you've got to write the lyrics first. So I say cut out the middleman and just write a bunch of songs about food and get an immediate booking.
It's a good point, actually. There's not enough songs about food.
There's not enough songs about food.
I'm saying it.
Okay, do you want to try and play a game of name a song about food and the first one who can't, yes, out.
It's the food.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to open with Watermelon Sugar High by Harry Styles.
I'm going to follow up with Lollipop by Mika.
This is like the worst DJ set ever.
Yeah, it's not a good start, is it? People are flocking out of the tent to Charles's chill out, chill out sofa.
I'm going for that song that goes hot dog, jumping frog.
It's called the King of Rock and Roll.
Cookie.
Yeah, it's called the King of Rock and Roll. It's got hot dog in it. I'm like, come on, you can't be going, it's got hot dog in it at this stage. Surely you've got to be song titles with.
And I don't think it's against the rules what I've just done.
Okay, you said we haven't established the rules. That's the problem, I think. In which case, I'm going to go with Monster Mash.
I'm going to go for Milkshake, Khalees. Oh,
love it.
Is that are we allowing beverages? Same
yeah, for, I think.
The well, rules. I mean, you
yeah,
know,
I'd say, come on, if we're allowing hot dog, jumping frog.
Okay. I mean, when was the last time you ate a jumping frog?
Worst car fest ever, that was. 2003.
Food popped off.
Licked one with your main genius. Didn't sleep for 4 days.
I had to go to Agent Charles's tent.
I'm going for Raspberry Beret.
Oh, the kind you find in a second-hand store?
Yeah, that's right. That raspberry be
all
old.
These raspberries are off. Cheap as creepers.
The kind you find at Alex James's big festival.
He's great with brie. Less good with his fruit, though.
He's great with raspberry. Okay. What about Mouldy Old Dough by Lieutenant Pigeon? I mean, come on, should we end this game here? Okay, yeah.
I'm going to go for Peaches by the Presidents.
Very good. I'm going for Strawberry Hill. Yeah, do you climbing up on Strawberry Hill?
Salisbury Hill, Tom. Strawberry Fields forever, yeah.
Yes. Climbing Strawberry up on Strawberry Hill.
Oh, if you
walking
go
down into the fields.
Meeting John Lennon, he's writing the song.
He's just licked a frog, I'm sure.
Well, if we're going Beatles, let's go Glass Onion.
Right. Oh, it's a difficulty.
Quite a lot of these things are actually inedible. A raspberry beret, a glass onion, and some monster mash. It's the worst. It's the worst episode of Ready Steady Cook I've ever seen.
It's a tough meal.
Thanks for coming on off menu, but I'm afraid you've said three of the secret ingredients. You're banned from the Dream Restaurant.
It's a song called Candy.
Robbie Williams.
Yeah, that's it.
Hey ho, here she goes. She's got a little too high and a little too low now.
Yeah, her lips made of candy. Yeah.
Now, on the B side of Back Home.
Oh my God. Oh dear! I tell you what.
On the B side of Back
this
Home,
this podcast is playing on the rocks.
It is on the rocks, isn't it? The B-side of England's World Cup song Back Home was called Cinnamon
Song
Stick.
Called Jacket Potato.
Was it Thank You Baked Potato?
Oh, is that going to be your next one?
It could be, yeah, why not?
So, I'm going to go for Cinnamon Stick.
I mean, come on.
Come on, mate.
Yeah. I've got a good one next.
Yeah? All right. Okay, here we go. I am going to go for Roll With It by Oasis. Because roll is a food and Oasis is a drink. So it's a full pack lunch right there, isn't it?
It's a real meal deal.
It's a Boots meal deal, mate.
Oh, dear.
Clarky, come on. You can do this, man.
Any song by Hot Chocolate?
Yeah, okay.
Didn't they do a song called I Believe I'm in Hot Chocolate since you came along? Okay, well, it was a wonderful round of the game. Parry, we have to hear yours because you're so excited about it. And also because Parry started writing on the whiteboard in his room. So he's gone full Succession on this. He's got this character arcs for his next answer. Go on, what have you come up with, Parry?
Spice Up Your Life.
Oh, beautiful.
By the Spice Girls.
Wonderful. Well,
and that's just
guys,
any kind of spice.
Any kind of spice. It could be tarragon, it could be turmeric, it could be, you know, saffron, you know, you name it, it's there. So, folks, if you can think of a food, of a song that's got a food in the title, please do get in touch. pappysflatshare@gmail.com.
We've turned into Adrian Childs.
We dream of turning into Adrian Childs. There's no way Childs would debase himself with a texter like that. No way.
He would have never done something so desperate as anything by Hot Chocolate.
Oh, I can't believe I've come out of that badly.
Yes.
Listen,
yes.
None of us played a one-show game there. We're all deep. Yeah, no, I'd say minus three show there. We should rename our podcast the minus three show.
I tell you what, this podcast would be better if it was minus three.
House meeting. Is having subtitles in a foreign film cheating?
House meeting.
There we go.
Tom, we're all waiting with bated breath.
Of the informal, friendship-based podcast landscape prove once again that there's still some petrol in the tank.
Some?
A thoroughly enjoyable romp like through their clearly adult imaginations. 4 stars.
Do you know what? I'm happy with that, man. Yeah, I'm happy with that.
Take it.
I really enjoyed that.
If you are going onto iTunes, give it a 5.
If you're going on iTunes, copy and paste that exact review and give it a 5.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And whoever is the first person to do that gets the golden ticket and gets to host the 27th of June.
Crosby, no. Are you busy? Have you double booked yourself?
Well, I've just found out that Cheekface are playing at the Moth Club. So, listen, if anyone wants to sub in.
This isn't the collab, is it?
This is the collab. Me collabing with Cheekface by going and standing in their audience.
Okay.
Listen,
okay,
you know what?
It's a clever way to do it, actually.
Listen, I don't want to, you know, obviously, I don't want to be, you know, don't tell tales outside of school here, but your episode where you stepped aside and let Robbins take over, he's doing absolute right gangbusters.
Oh, no,
honestly, we've never had press like it. It's unbelievable. We've never had
mostly Robbins reviewing himself, but still,
yeah, very positively as well. Yeah, and so I wonder if maybe it's time for each of us to step aside. No, Clarky, don't worry. You've already stepped aside on many an episode.
I've never stepped in.
The collab is you stepping up. We're announcing that Clarky's going to actually try and contribute a bit more. So, good luck with that.
All right, folks, if you enjoy this, apart from obviously leaving us a review on iTunes, if you enjoy this podcast and you have already done all of the big things like listening and rating and subscribing and telling your friends about it and all of that kind of stuff, and leaving us a review on Spotify, which is a thing you can do now, we would love you to join the Patreon as well. For less than £1 a week, you can have a bonus episode every single week, sometimes multiple bonus episodes. You know, we do bonus beefs, we do Pappy's Flatshare Pop Round, we do Love Sex Shag Down, our sexy show, which, I mean, we're now on the 20th or 21st episode of Love Sex Shag Down, and oh my god. It gets filthier every single month.
As the kids really would say, it goes hard.
It's absolutely, it's pods that go hard. Absolutely right. So get yourself to patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare. Get yourself to pappyscomedy.com/live. We will see you next week for another, what's it next week? Oh, it's a Beef Brothers Cold Cuts. Very exciting. See you very soon. Tom.
Once again, a classic sign off from Crosby, Clarky and Parry. They proved that they've still got just enough to complete an episode. 4 stars. Today's episode was produced by Emma Corsham.
Corsham team.
Cheers, everyone. Bye.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.